Our Father, we are so thankful to you at this season of the year, for this season, for all that it means to us, for all that we hope it will mean to others who do not yet know the marvelous gift you have given, Jesus Christ, born to be Savior of the world. Oh, Father, we are so thankful for His gift, for your gift of Jesus. Father, our world needs Jesus. We need who He is. Our world needs to understand that He is the King of Kings, and that we are to bow before Him only. Not the gods that we have made with our hands or in our likeness, but to bow before the one who has made us with His hands. Our world needs to know Him as the Prince of Peace. We are absent peace in our world. There are wars and conflicts. But way beyond that, Father, there is a lack of peace within families, within relationships, in a variety of ways, Father. May we know the peace that Jesus offers. We need a wonderful counselor who will counsel us in all that we are to do. We need a Savior, this Christ the Lord. Father, I ask that you would speak through me this morning. Anoint me with your power to proclaim your word, and that your word would speak to our hearts, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, it would bear your word into our hearts, and that our faith would be built on you, Almighty God. In Jesus Christ's name that we pray, amen. Imagine being a teenage girl. It'll be harder for some of us than others. But imagine being a teenage girl, engaged to be married. You've been raised in a Jewish home. You know God. You fear God. You say your prayers daily as prescribed. You dream of marrying your soon-to-be husband. You dream of being a mother someday. You are filled with excitement. Then this happens. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, in his kingdom will have no end. Gabriel, angel of God, has just announced to you that you will be the Emmanuel mother. As John will later say of Jesus, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The role cast upon Mary is unthinkable, unimaginable, really. She, a simple Jewish girl, will carry in her womb, miraculously, it always is, just even more so this time, will carry in her womb the Son of God. She is in awe, very perplexed, Luke tells us. Who wouldn't be? No one can dream this up. But you might think you are dreaming. She answers with a question of confusion and clarification. How can this be? I'm a virgin. Gabriel explains. And Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid. ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. We pick up the story in our text for today, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. Let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's Word. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. God was with Mary unlike anyone else. He was in her womb. She gave birth to Jesus, to God in flesh. She held His flesh soft and smooth like any other baby. She would nurse Him, change His diaper, teach Him to walk. She and Joseph, the man picked to fulfill the role of earthly father, would train Him in the way of the Lord. Mary was not just His mother. She was a believer. We last find Mary in the upper room with the other followers of Jesus after His ascension. Jesus had not only been in her womb, He was in her heart. God wants to be in you, in your heart. This is possible. You can believe in Jesus just as Mary did. She believed He was the Son of God, born to be the Savior of the world. She followed Him to the cross, to the tomb, to His ascension, and beyond. She was a follower of Jesus, the one she bore. You can follow Him as well. You must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Romans tells us. If you believe and confess, you will be saved. All who do so will be saved, the Scripture tells us. Saved. Saved from your sin. Saved from eternal separation from God. Saved for a relationship with Jesus. A relationship like Mary had with Jesus. Saved to live in His presence with Him now and forever. I offer you this gift. I didn't give it. God did. But I offer it to you. I offer it to you because I've already received it. Just a boy, 5 years old, summer Sunday afternoon. The gift means more now than it did then. I walk with Jesus. I live in fellowship with Him not perfectly. I know what it is to be in His presence. Any absence from His presence is mine, not His. I know what it is to experience the transformation He brings. All of the shortcomings, all of the sin are totally mine. In 39 and a half years, I should be farther along. The fact that I am not is my fault, not His. When you know Jesus, He is also with you. His mother and her cousin teach us something about our relationship with Him. What does He desire from you? Commit your life to Him. We find at verse 38, Mary demonstrates this for us. She says, I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. I am the Lord's maid. I am ready to serve, to give myself to you. It's strong and it's bold. It came from a young woman who committed herself to become pregnant outside of marriage and engaged. There's no, well, what about from her? There's no, well, what will Joseph say? No, people will scowl at me. Being pregnant and no wedding ring is a bad combination, even today. Would you say, fresh and new to the Lord? Would you say, I am yours, ready to serve? Could be your gift to Jesus this Christmas. I commit myself afresh and anew. I am yours, ready to serve. No questioning by saying, what about? No, well, what will people say if I'm really, really serious about this? No, well, how will all of this be? How will it all take care of itself? Commit yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to Him. Maybe the Lord is trying to say some things to some of you. Maybe the Lord is calling for a commitment to service to Him. The call of the Lord, maybe it's a call of the Lord to the ministry, to preaching or to leading in worship through song or to be a missionary. Maybe the Lord is calling. Would you answer the Lord's call? You can offer a lot of rebuttals to the Lord, but I will tell you, none of them will work. He will persist in calling. Will you commit your life to Him just as Mary did? I am the Lord's servant, ready to serve. But we also learned from this relationship between Mary and Elizabeth the importance of blessing others. The blessing comes from Elizabeth, significantly older than Mary. Mary is not yet married. Elizabeth is so old, she is past the normal childbearing age. But she is also miraculously pregnant. Her pregnancy comes from Zechariah, her husband, but at her age and his, it is definitely a miracle. She is 6 months along, Luke tells us. Mary has come for a visit. Now, the Scripture doesn't tell us these things, but I don't think this is Mary's first visit to the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah. I think the trek to their house is one that she has made before. Maybe never by herself, but she knew the way. I sense that Mary liked to go see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, not having had any children, loved for Mary to come. It was good for Elizabeth to be able to pour herself into some young child, and it was good for Mary's mother to have Mary gone to see Elizabeth. That she had been there before. Elizabeth taught Mary talked with Mary, shared life with Mary as they, and she would share things out of her own life experience as they baked bread, as they mended clothes, as they took care of the livestock, and maybe even played some games together. Going to see Elizabeth was always a comforting experience for Mary. They had always shared a bond. She always looked forward to her time with Elizabeth. She got Elizabeth's undivided attention. At home, there were other kids to share with, perhaps. It was fun to be there. Now pregnant, not yet married, even though engaged, she has been experiencing the scorn of others. Maybe nobody's really said anything confrontationally, but you just have a hunch somebody did. The people talk, you know, like this. There's that Mary girl. I thought she was engaged to Joseph, not married. Why is she pregnant? They look. They sneer. Matter of fact, some of them just come out and ask, "Well, I thought you and Joseph weren't married yet." She needed an escape from all of that. If you have ever known someone, especially someone you love, who has been pregnant and not married, you can imagine all of this. You have been disappointed in them, but you have hurt for them at the scorn they have received. Even in our society today, progressive in everything, you know, pregnant women describe how they can be people, look how they encounter people who are looking to see when they realize they are pregnant, do they have a ring on their finger? There are some people who say, well, that just shouldn't be a big deal in, you know, in this liberated society that we live in, that it's okay to be pregnant and not married. But societal convention, even in our immoral society, still expects you to have a ring because it expects you to be married. A wedding ring, that sign that says I'm married and being pregnant is okay. It's such a big deal nowadays that there is a company who makes fake wedding rings, so that women whose fingers have swollen along with their bellies can purchase a ring to wear while their real wedding ring doesn't fit. Imagine how much worse it must have been in Mary's day. Her strict Jewish culture. Her culture where Elizabeth, who had been married a long time, but she suffered scorn as well. She suffered the scorn that she never gave to Zechariah, that son. Any child, for that matter. Elizabeth, the one who loved Mary, the one who had experienced scorn as well. Elizabeth and Zechariah, their house. It was the perfect place for Mary to go. And Elizabeth proved it. She blessed Mary when Mary showed up. Luke describes her doing so. He describes it in a way that we kind of miss it, but he says, basically, she did so in her outside voice. We need to bless people. No woman today, pregnant out of wedlock, will have a reason like Mary. As we say at my house, she got things out of order. Can't she still be blessed? Can't she still be loved? The child in her womb is still a miracle of God. Mary and Elizabeth also teach us to believe God to fulfill His word. Mary believed God would fulfill His word. It was so evident that Elizabeth knew it as well. She actually believed the Word of God. She believed God would do what He said, Luke tells us. She believed God would show His mercy to those who fear Him, as she sang, would show the strength of His arm, would scatter the proud, would bring down the powerful, would lift up the lowly, would fill the hungry, would send the rich away empty. We need to believe God will do these things today. Our belief that God will do this needs to be joined with our commitment to Him. We can say, yeah, God, I believe You'll do that, but hold back our commitment. Then do you really believe God? Or you can say, I'll be committed, but you don't believe God to do anything. No, we must join these together. Our commitment to Him and our belief that God will do something. Mary believed God would do all of this as she sang about it. Mary committed her life to Him. We are to believe in all that Mary believed. We must commit ourselves to God to be a part of fulfilling His actions. Jesus will want to know when, He tells us by a wonderful parable, when we fed the hungry, when we clothed the naked, when we took in the homeless, when we visited those in prison, when we cared for the widow and the orphan, when we demonstrated the love of God. God will fulfill His word. He chooses to do so through us, through you, and you, and you. He chooses to work through people. He chose to work through Mary, through Elizabeth, through John the Baptist, and of course, through His Son whom He sent. And He chooses you. Mary shows us what it's like to commit yourself to the Lord. I am your servant. I am your servant. I give myself to you. I am your servant, but I believe you. I believe you're going to do what you have said to me through the angel Gabriel. I believe you are going to lift up the lowly. You're going to put down the high and mighty. You're going to make sure the hungry are fed. You're going to show your mercy to all of those who fear you. You will do these things. I believe you. Christmas is 2 days away. If you have children at your house, I'm sure you're well aware of that. It's a wonderful time to ponder about your own life. Where's my commitment to the Lord? Does it need some refreshing and some renewing? You know, I read this Bible. I see what it says. I don't understand it all. You're in a good club if you don't understand it all. There are lots of members. I'm one. But I believe God will do what He tells us He will do. I don't always understand His timing. I understand that. I don't either. But yeah, those kinds of things. But would you consider, do I need to renew a commitment to the Lord afresh and new? And do I need to believe God for what He really says in His Word, that He will really do it? And all of that might just lead you to praise God, to offer your praise to God. Mary expressed in song what was welling up from within her. It flowed out of her. Over in Paul's writings, he describes psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is a spiritual song flowing out of Mary's heart. Maybe she had pondered it on her way to Elizabeth's house. It reveals the depth of her faith. It shows a maturity in her understanding of God. It shows her love for God, For people who commit their way to the Lord will bless others in the name of Jesus. People who commit their way to the Lord will believe God to fulfill His Word. People who commit their way to the Lord should be people who will express their praise to God. Mary did. Even Elizabeth did. Her blessing over Mary was really a praise. It was exuberant. It was, as I said earlier, in her outside voice, no holding back on her part. What holds you back from your praise to God? Do you know Jesus? You see, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Him, and certainly that'll hold you back, because out of that relationship, there's no depth of a way to give praise to Him. Do you need to know Jesus? He is the gift of Christmas. Oh, I know there are presents under the tree. There are probably way too many at the Knox house. But they are there, wrapped in pretty packages, or colorful sacks waiting to be opened. But the best gift of Christmas is the one who hung on a tree. His gift was found at the tree in the shape of a cross, who died for your sin, died for mine, died for everyone's sin. He followed that up. He was put in a tomb 3 days. But his Father didn't leave him there. His Father raised him from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. No one, including the Mayans, know when He's coming again. No one. Maybe someday people will quit trying to guess. No one knows when. But if you don't know Jesus and you do not have a relationship with Him, you have nothing to offer to Him in praise. Would you offer yourself to Him and praise Him? Lift your voice to Him? Would you commit your way to Him? Trust Him to fulfill His Word? Would you be willing to bless others in the name of Jesus? Let the Emmanuel Mother, Mary, teach us to commit ourselves to the Lord with full abandon. Here I am. I'm your servant. No ifs, ands, or buts. Not holding anything back from you. Here I am. I'm yours. Would you let Mary teach us to believe God, to do what He says He will do? Will you let Mary teach us to praise Him? Let it flow out of your heart to Him. Write it in a poem. Write a song. Sing another hymn somebody else wrote. If it helps to put your words into some expressive form, to put your feeling into words that you can express, create a piece of artwork. Do something. Offer your praise in full abandon to God. To bless others. And God can use us to deliver Jesus to another person. God will be with that person too. Jesus came to be with all who will believe. It begins with belief. Do you believe? Our Heavenly Father, strengthen our belief. Show us, O Lord, how to believe more and more in full abandon to You, so that You can do with us, in us, through us, all that You hope or desire to do. O Lord, would that be the case? O Lord God, that You would do that. Lord God, that we would do that. We would commit ourselves to You fully. Lord, I pray for any person this morning that doesn't know Jesus, as you speak to their heart, they would be willing to say yes to you today. Lord, I pray for each of us who already know Jesus, that our ears and our hearts would be attentive to you and what you're saying. And as you say and you speak to us, we would really consider, do we need a fresh new commitment to you? And offer ourselves afresh and anew this Christmas to you. Lord, there may be those to whom you're calling because you have something special for them. A call to ministry, a call to service in a special way, just as you called Mary in a special way. We'd say yes to you. Lord, help each of us to respond. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. How would you respond to the Lord today?